So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is again that time, one of the most popular hours on Blog Talk Radio, the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. And we hope you didn't miss us too much last week when we were out of the show celebrating our birthday. We hope that you enjoyed Mr. Springsteen sitting in. I didn't get to listen to the show. I'm sure he did a wonderful, fine, ample job holding up the microphone while we were out. And now we're back. And it is Thursday, May the 15th, 2014. I guess we'll start out, as we always do, with This Week in History. Yes, it's true. I was out last week on my birthday, which was May 8th, also the birthday of Friedrich Hayek and James Traficant. Just to let you know that I'm in good Liberty-related company there. Get a loud ringing in our ear here on the show. Hopefully you all don't hear that ringing out there. But we'll keep on carrying on anyway. This Week in History. This week in 1933, one of the original dictators of our country, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's Farm Act, which was later declared unconstitutional. What a shock. A little bit further back, this week in 1804, the Lewis and Clark expedition began. And finally, you'll love this one. This week in 1894, the U.S. Supreme Court declared an income tax to be unconstitutional. Yeah, we know they brought it back later, and it was still unconstitutional. It was still not delivered properly, and it was still not endorsed by all the states that they claim it was, but that was this week in 1894, the Constitution first said that an income tax would be unconstitutional. Mentioning FDR, 70 years ago this week, 70 years ago this week, the Communist Party endorsed FDR for president. If that tells you anything. Now we'll move back to present day. And we know that we have some big elections coming up next week. And I know that just because my email inbox and my snail mail box and my voicemail box are all filled up with messages about the upcoming elections. And I will post my full list of endorsements. My full list of Kentucky primary election endorsements will show up tomorrow. And just for those who are looking for that list ahead of time, the full list of my endorsements for Kentucky primary elections will show up in three places out on the social networks. Unfortunately, Facebook is what it is, and that's the place that most people go on the internet, so the internet and Gutenberg and whatever the hell his name is. He wished he was Gutenberg. And the government and the rest of the government officials like to watch you out there on the internet. Zuckerberg, there we go. Had my wrong Jewish name there. Zuckerberg and the other watchdogs like to watch you. So that's okay. We're still going to post our endorsements of all primary election races in Kentucky. They will be up there tomorrow. Now for the very few of you all who are on my private Facebook page, they'll show up there too. But again, who are we kidding? I don't allow many people on my private Facebook page. There's only about 70, 71 people that I allow on there. But have no fear. I will also post these pics over on the Facebook group called the United Kentucky Tea Party. And over on a Facebook group called Louisville for Liberty. The Louisville for Liberty group is a page that my good friend Jeremy Tyler started, and he and I and one other gentleman are administrators for that page. And the other group, the United Kentucky Tea Party, is a group that my good friend John T. Kemper out of Lexington started. So those are the places where we'll post all the full endorsements. And again, if you have questions for me, I will put out the email address, something I don't do very much. But you can also send us messages, send us questions about the elections at MrTruth247, MRTRUTH247, at yahoo.com. Good, now we got all that out of the way. Because there's a lot of mudslinging going on by good old Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. We know all about what Mitch is up to. And today I was reading something and I wonder, should I give any credence to this at all? Well, no. Should I give any credit to this? Well, no. But I am going to read it, or at least read parts of it. Apparently, over on the Team Mitch page, a page I do not frequently visit, they had a letter. And they called it a public open letter, an open letter by one Hunter Bates. If some of you all out there don't remember young Mr. Hunter Bates, Mr. Hunter Bates was the guy that they tried to push as a Republican lieutenant candidate under Ernie Fletcher. That was Mitch McConnell's doing, trying to push Hunter Bates onto the ticket with Ernie Fletcher. That didn't work when they found out that Hunter Bates didn't live in Kentucky. Oops. He kind of had to live in Kentucky to be on a ballot in Kentucky, little Hunter Bates. Well, Hunter Bates has made it big time because right after that election, surprise, surprise, he was serving as the chief legal counsel to Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. What a shock, right? No shock, really. He was also a chief of staff to Mitch McConnell. Of course, he was a graduate of Harvard Law School. I guess that would make Charles Merwin Grayson proud. And better than that, he went into a consulting firm, not only into a consulting firm, but started a consulting firm, i.e. lobbyist, with Jeff Davis. Remember Jeff Davis? Yeah, Jeff Davis, the same former representative who's now talking crap about Matt Bevin. He's got his wife out there on the campaign stump. How, if you know shame, have your wife out there talking bad about Matt Bevin. So all this to tell you about good old Hunter Bates, because he runs Bates Capital Group, and that's a consulting group, if you will. So he's got a consulting group, but he's got another consulting group called Republic Consulting. So he's just consulting all over the place, isn't he? So this is the young lawyer come lately, Johnny come lately, who did not live in Kentucky, lived in Virginia, and they try to force him down our throat. Well, here comes little Hunter Bates, and he says, I met Matt Bevin 3 years ago, and I thought he might hold great promise for Kentucky Republicans. And after watching him for the past 9 months, I could not be more disappointed in him as a candidate and as a man. So let's stop right there. Because this guy is not a Kentuckian. He is a lobbyist. He is a consultant. He is a lawyer. So non-Kentuckian, pretended to be a Kentuckian to get on the ballot with Ernie Fletcher at the orders of Mitch McConnell, consultant, lobbyist, lawyer, just to let you know where he comes from. And then he goes into ripping about how Matt Bevin should have went against John Yarmuth. And then he went into complaining that Matt Bevin's a New England millionaire and he's giving money to Greg Fisher, the Louisville Republican mayor, or Democrat mayor, excuse me. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Hunter Bates. Maybe you should talk to the sons of bitches over at the Republican Party Executive Committee in Jefferson County, because they got a guy over there named Cordell Lawrence. And he's a big, bad junior. He's Cordell Lawrence Jr., not senior, but Cordell Lawrence Jr. And he was one of the ones that tried to tell myself and others that we weren't loyal Republicans because we were friends with Ken Mohman. You know, Ken Mohman, he also has a show on this network on Sunday nights, Liberty Unbridled. Well, back then, he was just Libertarian candidate Ken Mohman. And Cordell Lawrence Jr. told us that we were not loyal Republicans because we were friends with Ken Mohman on the social networks. And then we found out that Cordell Lawrence Jr., big, powerful, big, strong wuss on the Republican Party Executive Committee, made big contributions himself to Andrew Beshear and also to Greg Fisher. So this is how the circle runs. If you're not an elitist Republican, you can't give money to Democrats. But if you are one of theirs, you can do what you want. Well, here comes Hunter Bates, and he tells us how horrible that Matt Bevin is, and he comes up with the same old garbage about cockfighting. And then he has the nerve to say that Matt Bevin advocated for TARP. You know, the same TARP that Hunter Bates' daddy, his own pimp daddy, Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr., voted for? Yeah, that same TARP. You can't be a lifetime politician, Mitch. You can't be in there for 30 years and then come back and all of a sudden tell us that a businessman was for TARP and you voted for TARP. Businessmen are trying to get by. Businesses are things that you've never run in your life, Mitch, because ever since you showed up in Louisville, Kentucky for a few minutes with your family from Alabama, and you decided you were going to go to law school, and then you spent about 30 minutes in the military, and we're not supposed to talk about why you were dishonorably discharged or was honorably discharged. I guess we'll never know since the files were sealed from the military after only a month or less. And then you immediately went to working for a judge. And then you went immediately working for another judge. And then you ran for judge executive. Then you got the hell out of Louisville so you could be senator for life, apparently. You're part of the war machine, Mitch McConnell, and the war machine doesn't have a future. It's like I said out on the social networks, the county executive committee, they want to all of a sudden pretend like they love Rand Paul. And they love to talk about how Rand Paul endorsed Mitch McConnell. But they don't talk about how Mitch McConnell got that endorsement when there was nobody else in the race. They don't talk about how Mitch McConnell doesn't have the endorsements of the Tea Party. They don't talk about how Mitch McConnell doesn't have the endorsements of the talking heads on the radio. The Cincinnati Inquirer put out a good piece last week and talked about who is standing behind whom in this Republican primary between lifetime politician, TARP voter, big budget voter, Obamacare endorser, Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr., and businessman Matt Bevin. So let's think about this for a minute. Who endorsed Mitch McConnell? Well, former U.S. Rep. Jeff Davis, of course. We just talked about that circle of love because Jeff Davis is in a consulting firm with Hunter Bates, who worked for Mitch McConnell, who endorsed Jeff Davis. It just goes round and round, the little circle jerk, doesn't it? And then we find out also that Mitch McConnell was endorsed by Damon Thayer because Damon Thayer is a wannabe politician of his own. He's another one of those cookie cutters who wants to be just like Mitch, just like Trey Gray. And once you get past that, it's the neocon powers that be. McConnell endorsed by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who has publicly admitted that they want to destroy the Tea Party. McConnell endorsed by the NRA, who doesn't stand up for your guns. McConnell endorsed by Rick Perry, Mike Huckabee, Michael Medved. That's about it, folks, outside of the Republican office holders who are scared shitless to not endorse him. And now look at the other side. Let's look at who has endorsed Matt Bevin, the Senate Conservatives Fund, the United Kentucky Tea Party, the Republican Liberty Caucus, Freedom Works, Take Back Kentucky, the Louisville Tea Party, Tea Party Patriots, Larry Forgy, John Kemper, the Madison Project, Republican Liberty Caucus, Freedom Works, Mark Levin, Mandy Cano, Eric Erickson, the Tea Party Patriots Citizens Fund, Right Wing News, Americans for Legal Immigration, Northern Kentucky Right to Life. All these people have endorsed this unknown businessman over a 30-year incumbent. Why is that? Do you ever wonder why that happened? because they're tired of business as usual. They would like to get another senator like Rand Paul, who only endorsed Mitch McConnell before there was another candidate, and who needs his support in becoming president. But we'd rather have another U.S. senator like Rand Paul and not like Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. So when Hunter Bates puts out a letter talking about how ashamed he is of Matt Bevin, just remember what Hunter Bates is. He's a guy who they try to force on you as a lieutenant governor candidate. He's a lobbyist. He's a lawyer. He's a special interest guy. He's a consultant. He's the establishment, folks. Just like his hero. Just like his buddy, Mitch McConnell. So again, this is going to be the top of your ballot, and I understand that everybody isn't in Kentucky. I understand that we have listeners all around the place, all around the country and the world. But what about our good friend Judge Andrew Napolitano? Judge Napolitano said this week that Matt Bevin will be a superb senator, utterly faithful to the principles of the Constitution and limited government and maximum individual liberty. See, those things matter to us. You see, the Washington Examiner did a great story this week about how the GOP establishment eats its own to save corporate welfare. And we've seen this before. It's Mitch McConnell all over again. The GOP establishment, says the Washington Examiner in yesterday's article, eats their own to save its corporate welfare. An example they give is that a few weeks ago, you had the anti-Tea Party Main Street Partnership vis-a-vis U.S. Chamber of Commerce that we just talked about. They were openly appealing to paranoia in a high-profile Idaho race. You see, you had this super PAC run by former Representative Steve LaTourette, Republican of Ohio, and they ran this ad that hit hard. They ran this ad that said that the challenger to U.S. Representative Mike Simpson, Republican, was being backed by a liberal pro-Nancy Pelosi group, namely the Club for Growth. Yeah, let me explain this again. The Main Street Partnership, think Chamber of Commerce, was trying to say that the Club for Growth, the Uber Conservative Club for Growth, were pro-Nancy Pelosi. Now, Main Street might win a couple of races with this kind of a dishonest approach, but it only reinforces the very distrust that has turned primary voters against the Main Street model of Republicanism. You see, the same thing was just happening up in Michigan, except it's not a super PAC. It's actual Republican lawmakers who are launching conservative-sounding attacks against a colleague because he's a principal conservative. The party eats their own. This is why Ed Springsteen and myself and Ed Martin have said on this network there is the Uniparty. There's the Democrat wing of the Uniparty, and there's the Republican wing of the Uniparty. You see, Representative Devin Nunes of California called Justin Amash Al-Qaeda's best friend in Congress. And then House Intelligence Chairman Mike Rogers, who hails from two districts over, said that Amash votes more with the Democrats than he does with the Republicans, which was complete bullshit. And these attacks coincided with a very well-funded establishment effort to try to unseat Justin Amash in a Republican primary. And see, their Republican primary in Michigan is not until August, folks. They have three more months of this garbage. And surprise, surprise, these attacks coincide with the establishment effort to get rid of Amash, an effort to which, of course, House Intelligence Chairman Mike Rogers has contributed $5,000. You see, Justin Amash is one of the folks on the list that I call the very few people worth trusting in Congress. I only have about 10 of them, folks, in the House of Representatives that I think are worth trusting. And I've named them all before. I won't go ahead and name them all tonight. But Justin Amash is right up there with our friends Thomas Massey and Paul Brown and Tim Holtzkamp when it comes to House members, kind of like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. These are the guys who aren't bowing down to the establishment. And you see Amash, Justin Amash is a libertarian-leaning Republican. He's young. And he won his House seat in the Tea Party wave of 2010, just as Rand Paul did here in the other U.S. Senate seat. And now Amash is one of the most active members of Congress on social media. He frequently exchanges tweets with his constituents. You ain't going to find Mitch McConnell tweeting with any constituents, folks. You can't even find Mitch McConnell in Louisville. He represents Louisville, quote-unquote, in U.S. Senate. He represents the whole state of Kentucky, supposedly, in the U.S. Senate. And you never see him outside of Washington, D.C., and the K Street lobbyist. So Justin Amash irritated Republicans and Democrats alike in leadership last year because he built a coalition to stop privacy abuse by the NSA. You guys remember the NSA, right? The only government organization who peeps while you sleep, the only government organization who listens. Well, Amash built a coalition against that kind of NSA intrusion. And he also happened to be one of the most outspoken opponents of our involvement in Libya and Syria. Remember when they wanted to get us more involved in Libya? Remember when they wanted to get us back in Syria? So hence the hyperbolic charges regarding Al-Qaeda and Pelosi. They come up with this garbage, not from an establishment Republican view, but from K Street lobbyists, folks. You see, the pro-life issue is the one on which Amash's primary challenger, Brian Ellis, is trying to make inroads. And that's smart. It's a much better issue than, say, Southwest Michigan's need for reliable votes to reauthorize the Export-Import Bank. That's just not as sexy as the pro-life issue, is it? As in the Idaho race, the establishment's anti-establishment message evinces a cynical lack of interest in winning hearts and minds, not even with the pragmatic argument that our guys can win. Folks, I'm telling you about this stuff because we've been in the trenches with these assholes, and we've been in these trenches with them for years and years and years, from the conventions of 2004 to 2008 to 2012. And I can tell you that in 2008 conventions, we were trying to talk about things like auditing and ultimately ending the Federal Reserve. We were talking about things like alternative currencies and a real dollar backed by gold and or silver instead of this fiat Federal Reserve note. And the old dinosaurs who run the Republican Party in Louisville and Kentucky looked at us like we were freaking insane. They had no idea what we were talking about because they just wanted to say, look, we're for freedom. We're pro-life. We're pro-gun. And that's great, folks. It's good to be pro-life and pro-gun, but are you really standing up for any real issues? And see, when I say real issues, I'm talking about the issues that my friends down at Take Back Kentucky have been heralding for years. And yeah, it's probably a good point in time to bring up the fact that Take Back Kentucky will have their regular monthly meeting in E-Town this Saturday. And I'm talking about issues like being for private property rights, and being for food freedom, and being for industrial hemp. And we can talk after the break how Jamie Comer is giving it to them on industrial hemp, and being for pro-civil liberties and sovereignty, and real capitalism, not crony capitalism, and being for privacy and due process and against surveillance. And guess what? Being even anti-17th Amendment, and being anti-income tax, and being anti-real ID and biometrics. Those are real issues. How much longer are you going to stand there and just say, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-gun, I'm a Christian? That's great, folks, but let's try something a little bit deeper than just the same old talking points. The audit of and the eventual end of the Federal Reserve is something that my friends at Take Back Kentucky have been talking about for years, and we were pushing that issue 6 years ago in the conventions, and the elite establishment dinosaurs who run the party back when dinosaurs roamed this earth, they acted like they had no idea of what we spoke. And we'll talk about a little bit more about our buddy Jamie Comer, who I think will make a great governor next year when we get back after the break. You're listening to the TNT radio show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters radio network. If you want to call in, as always, 858-683-1326, and we'll be back.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at ErniesPrintShop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. Ernie'sPrintShop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we welcome you back to the show, folks. You are listening to the TNT Radio Show on the My View Matters Radio Network. Now, I just teased a little bit about our friend Jamie Comer, who is the agriculture commissioner, who had to basically clean up the office and fumigate the place when little Richie Farmer ran off and had to go out in shackles and handcuffs to a prison in West Virginia. And Jamie Comer has had to clean up that office. And Jamie Comer has also been standing up to the DEA. For those who don't know, the DEA had decided to steal, seize, take, however you want to say it. The DEA had decided to seize the hemp seed that were coming into Louisville. But now there's been an apparent breakthrough, apparently. All of a sudden this week, 2 days ago, there's been a breakthrough in the battle over industrial hemp seeds. They were seized by customs agents, all of the DEA. You see, the Drug Enforcement Administration has decided to back down, and they have released the seeds for the hemp pilot project. How gracious we should be to our government controllers, right? Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Jamie Comer planned to take the DEA to federal court this week to force it to follow a new federal law. Because God forbid we ask the DEA to follow a freaking federal law. And according to Comer, the DEA wanted to attach various conditions before it would even consider handing over our industrial hemp seed. But now the two sides have agreed on one condition. It was just an utter disregard for the farm bill, said Jamie Comer, and he's correct. By the last phone call between the DEA and the Ag Commissioner's Department on Tuesday, they appeared to have reached an agreement that by the end of this week, should be tomorrow, folks, that by the end of this week, they would release to agriculture officials a 250-pound shipment of hemp seeds that were being held by customs agents. Now, this is what I said on the Springsteen show. Imagine if we had some government officials in the state who had the balls to stand up beside Jamie Comer against the DEA. And like Jamie Comer said, there's only a small window of opportunity to plant these seeds when you look at the growing calendar. He said they really should be in the ground right now, but we can probably have up until May 30th to get these seeds planted. And now an agriculture commissioner official says the DEA says they're only going to require us to apply for an import permit. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that the Ag Commissioner's Department will probably go along with the permit because it's easier than having to fight further. But just the fact he's standing up for the industrial hemp crop when nobody else will tells you what bull's out there in the farm bill. And this is a lot better resolution than what happened 18 years ago. Does anybody remember what happened 18 years ago when actor Woody Harrelson came to Kentucky? Actor Woody Harrelson came to Kentucky and he ceremoniously planted four hemp seeds, four tiny little hemp seeds, and they arrested him. He was arrested because he planted four hemp seeds in Kentucky. That's how ridiculous the DEA is. So I think this is a better resolution. So tomorrow, Comer will plan to join the hemp supporters in rural Kentucky to plant hemp seeds to usher in a rebirth of a cash crop. This is a cash crop, folks, that's been outlawed in Kentucky for 77 years. I think it's about time that we finally have the hemp crops growing in Kentucky again. See, this is the reason I tell folks that I want Jamie Comer to be our next governor, because he is three-fourths of the way through his one term as ag commissioner. He can run for ag commissioner again, and I hope that when running for governor, he picks a good protege, a good understudy, who will keep the ag commissioner in good hands, and we can all vote for him as well, him or her as well. But the bottom line is we need stuff like this in Kentucky. They screwed the farmers over royally when it came to the tobacco, and we got to have something different in this state, since they have just taken everything away from the farmers. And I understand the farm bills out there, and I don't believe in big government for the farmers. But hell, when you're not going to let them grow hemp, you have them jumping through all these hoops, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. So thank goodness the hemp seeds are finally getting through to Kentucky. Now, I haven't got to see the piece last night that CN2 Politics did on our friend Phil Moffitt, but I look forward to seeing it, because Phil Moffitt was setting down Ryan Alessi on CN2, and his opponent, Shelley May, refused to do so. She refused to debate him. She refused to take a stance on the issues. Hell, a couple years ago, she refused to say that we Liberty folks could even be in the Republican Party because we weren't loyal. But she wants your vote. She wants the votes of everybody in that 32nd district. And Phil Moffitt is a good constitutionalist guy, so I hope if you have CN2 Politics or you go over to the website, maybe you can see where he showed up there. And, of course, Shelley May did not show up over there. She didn't have the balls to stand up for any issues. And I'm pretty sure just as we get into stuff like industrial hemp, our good friend Jamie Comer shows he has a huge set. These neocon establishment hacks never wanted to be anything near industrial hemp. Now, I believe our good friend Paul from Stop Invisible Taxes has called into the line. Paul, are you with us?
Yes. Hiya, Dale. Hey, listen, you're punching one of my tax buttons again tonight when you get into the whole concept of why industrial hemp has not been allowed in Kentucky. There's a couple of things that I believe is going on here, and one of them has to do with the actual protection of the Kentucky marijuana growing industry by those that are in charge of government. Yep. And my assumption along those lines stems from what I believe to be that our elected leaders and their friends are profiting enormously from the illegal production of marijuana. Never mind that marijuana has been scientifically proven to be significantly less harmful than Kentucky's legal drug, yep, whiskey, bourbon. Never mind that. At least on the whiskey and bourbon industry, we do have the opportunity for them to tax the product at outrageous levels. Most folks don't know just how much of their money they pay when they buy their alcohol, how much of that is taxes. We had a chance to go down to the Jack Daniel's distillery a couple of years ago, and they informed us that the federal component alone, I believe, was nearly 50% of the cost of the whiskey. But nonetheless, at least the Kentucky's legal drug, alcohol, is being taxed. And should hemp ever come about, and I think that it will, I think we stand a pretty good chance of getting hemp. The hemp issue, as you've pointed out, would be beneficial to a lot of Kentucky farmers. However, Dale, it will come with heavy, heavy regulations, just like the alcohol industry has.
It's like the all or nothing versus the mediation, because I don't believe they should have even went along with their stupid permit for import-export BS, because I think they should stand up against it. But like I said, we've come a long way from, if you remember back 18 years ago, Paul, where Woody Harrelson came to Kentucky and he planted 4 hemp seeds. That's hard to believe, it was 18 years ago, and they arrested him for it. So I don't see them arresting the ag commissioner, and I see him standing his ground. So I give him total kudos, because God knows Richie Farmer was too busy watching UK games and poaching animals illegally from his truck and doing his girlfriend under the table to worry about these important issues. So I hope that Jamie Comer is our next governor. I know we've had people on his network try to pimp out Hal Heiner, who I'm not excited about, and it doesn't make me jump up and down for. But Comer is going to go to the nth degree to defend us. Comer showed up at an event, Paul, that I went to. This was in 2011, and he was running for ag commissioner. And this was an event down in Louisville, and this is down in the Butchertown area, and there was a film being shown about hemp, about industrial hemp. And he didn't need to be there. Nobody would have known if he wasn't there, but he made an effort. And he's down in central Kentucky where he lives as a farmer himself. He came to this event in Old Louisville. To make a long story short, when a guy comes from the middle of the state into the, you know, little yippie area of Louisville to watch a film on hemp and stand up for hemp, that shows me that he truly means it, Paul. He truly wants us to have these liberties to grow a simple seed.
Well, it's kind of a dual purpose behavior. He certainly can benefit the state at large, but he's also setting himself apart from the run of the mill batch that's currently in power. So,
yep.
I talk with one of my liberal table tennis buddies about a lot of things, and one of the things that he always disagrees with me about is how in our society we operate on a platform of enlightened self-interest. Okay, and Jamie Comer in that regard he fits the bill, but Dale, doesn't most everybody in our society approach things with some degree of self-interest? They've got something that they want to achieve or gain. And so,
sure,
you know, the premise of Comer going out and promoting him being in favor of things like that, and also doing himself a favor, I think that's perfectly fine, not a problem. But I like the fact that these issues are coming about. But I do find that the people who are currently protecting the marijuana business in Kentucky, who certainly are demonstrating a degree of enlightened self-interest, they're the ones that have got to be defeated in order to get this hemp thing rocking and rolling. And
well, we know the establishment, like you said, Paul, they benefit from keeping this stuff out of the public's hands. And I can tell you that my friends at Take Back Kentucky were the ones that enlightened me on this issue 5 and 6 years ago. They were writing pieces, my friends Barry Bright and my friend, the late, great Norm Davis. They were talking about industrial hemp 6 or 7 years ago, how we need to get this up. We got the industrial hemp committee started back up, and it's funny you mentioned the marijuana thing, and we know how they all treated Gatewood Galbraith, another one of our late friends who were for liberty, and they treated him like crap and made a joke of him. And you had idiots on the radio like Terry Miners over on their 50,000-watt big blowjob torch at WHAS would always make fun of Gatewood Galbraith, and he was right. I mean, they made fun of Woody Harrelson, and it took me a while to come around on industrial hemp because I didn't get it at first. And my friend John Riley at Take Back Kentucky, who's running for judge executive in Spencer County next week, John Riley made it very clear what the issue was. You had to get past the snicker factor, because every time someone wanted to talk about hemp, everybody said, oh, that's marijuana. And it was not marijuana. And we even see now that we see James Higdon, who wrote the book about the cornbread mafia marijuana. James Higdon, ironically, is on the Industrial Hemp Committee. And James Higdon's dad is Senator Jimmy Higdon in the state senate. We'd love to see him as a running mate for Jamie Comer. So the establishment is dying out when it comes to their prohibition and it not working. It's like I like to say to all the listeners, Paul, one day we'll be able to sit around and say, there was a time, kids, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and ran the political party here.
Dale, one of the you're alluding to probably the number one problem with everyone and every group, all of these folks face when they're trying to get beneficial and meaningful change made in our society through the legislative efforts, and that is all of us who are looking at these issues. We first of all are busy trying to put food on our table and keep a roof over our head. So we are time restricted. Okay, we only have a certain amount of time to devote to such efforts. The people who are trying to maintain the status quo are not only do they have lots more time than we do, they also are using public money to do that, and they're getting their friends in the mass media to go along with them for a wide variety of reasons. So one of the things that our side has to do well is that we have to get out, and you just kind of touched on it. We have to get out and educate people about these issues. Easy for me to say, but it's very time-consuming, and it's very hard to do when you're busy trying to simply keep the wolf at bay from your door, all right?
Yep.
One of the tactics that the status quo uses extremely effectively is a series of networking and maintaining relationships with a variety of groups. I saw a story today, and it had to do with a political candidate. It was a judicial candidate here in this current election cycle here in Jefferson County for district court. She posted a photo of her in a, quote, training session on how to respond to the media's questions regarding her candidacy, and one of the two people there helping her was former Courier-Journal editor David Hopp, who is an acknowledged and an avowed liberal. Okay, and this judicial candidate who is going to be expected to render fair and balanced decisions is being influenced on how to win the election by a known liberal former journalist, and I'm sure his liberalness hasn't changed, even though he's no longer in the journalism.
Liberal, that used to be meaning you were for freedom and the Constitution. He's a socialist, plain and simple, but go ahead.
So this is a little bit of a glimpse as to what is happening on the side of the status quo, all right, as to how they continue to work in ways that simply is very difficult for those of us who want to challenge their grip. They outnumber us, and they have a lot more money, and they've got a lot more time. So what we have to do on our side, we have to work smarter, and we probably have to work a little bit harder. And we have to coalesce better than what we have been doing. And that's a big issue that we can't even begin to touch on in this conversation. But we have to get better at what we do. We have to get better.
That's a good jump off point, Paul, because we got to get into my closing comments. And folks, like I said, we didn't focus a lot on the elections tonight. It is true that there are a lot of good candidates, and I want you to get out there and vote for. And I've talked about several of them. I want you to get out there and vote for Matt Bevin. I understand that Ed and Ed haven't been gung-ho about Matt Bevin. Well, that's their problem. I'm not going to sit here and let McConnell run us over and let us be his puppets. And I also think you've got to get out there and vote for folks like Phil Moffitt if you're in his state house race, in his district. You got to get out there and vote for Alan Claypool. You got to get out there and vote for my good friends Richard Trites and John Riley. Those guys are very, very, very crucial to bringing back any kind of freedom and liberty to our state. Now, I want to close, and we might have to go into overtime here to do this, but, you know, it used to be give me liberty or give me death, folks, and now it's like give me the remote control and I'll be happy. That's how the people are like. But I want to read this to you. I've read this maybe once every several months, if that. And it's called A Visitor from the Past. says, I had a dream the other night I didn't understand. A figure walking through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-corner hat, and speaking low, he said, we fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave, and this the land of the free and the home of the brave. But today you buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent. Although you have no voice in choosing how the money's spent, your children must attend a school that doesn't educate. Your Christian values can't be taught, according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press. You pay a tax you do not owe to please the foreign IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver or of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your lives can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they can padlock churches and steal the family farm and keep our country deep in debt, put men of God in jail, harass your fellow countrymen while corrupt courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oath they've sworn. They defy and rape the nation and leave its fabric tattered and torn. Your leaders ship artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter, fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedom for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? Are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear as a slave? People of the Republic, arise and take a stand. Defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great republic and God-given right, and pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free. We have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside in a dream while you're asleep and wonders what remains of the rights he fought so hard to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave? Is this still the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.